Hello, this is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from a Revelation Timeline Decoded YouTube video series that I made in 2021. The videos were very low tech, mostly me reading what's on the screen, so you're not missing much in the audio version. The Revelation Layers chart and summary PDFs that I refer to in the videos can be found at www.revelationtimelinedecoded.com. Enjoy the lesson. Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this video, I'm going to talk about the drying up of the Euphrates River, which prepared the way for the kings of the East, which we see in the sixth vial judgment in Revelation 16. Many prophecy teachers point to China and countries from the Far East as the kings of the East, but those explanations are out of context when you understand where we're at on the Revelation fulfillment timeline. Revelation 16:12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So what's the context? The trumpet judgments are against the Roman Empire. The first four trumpet judgments point to army after army being sent against the Western Roman Empire, which led to the last Western Roman emperor, symbolized by the sun being smitten, being removed from power in 476 AD in the fourth trumpet judgment. The fifth trumpet judgment points to the creation of the false religion of Islam, which has darkened the minds of Arabs to believe in a false religion instead of the gospel of Messiah, who is the Son of Righteousness. The Muslim army was used to attack the middle part of the Roman Empire, bringing judgment on Orthodox Christians. So in the trumpet judgments, it's talking about thirds. So a third and a third and a third, making up the whole Roman Empire. So the first four trumpet judgments were against the western third. The Muslim army attacked primarily the middle and part of the eastern empire, so they're focusing on the second third. And then the sixth trumpet judgment points to the Turks being released from the area of the Euphrates River to attack the eastern Roman Empire, ending in the fall of Constantinople by the fire, smoke, and brimstone of large cannons, which knocked down the thick protective wall. So that's the remaining third. The sixth trumpet judgment was on apostate Orthodox Christians who worship Mary as their intercessor, which gives context to the Christians who were killed by Muslims. The Turks, who were symbolized by the Euphrates River during the sixth trumpet judgment, became the great Ottoman Empire. Wikipedia records the expansion and peak of the empire, the stagnation and reform, the decline and modernization, and the defeat and dissolution of the Ottoman Empire. So we're sitting here looking for the drying up of the river Euphrates, which is symbolically pointing to the Ottoman Empire, and we have the historical witness of that empire being dried up. So here's a map of what they controlled. So this is 1580. So after the fulfillment of the sixth trumpet judgment, and you see, all the yellow is what they control. So this whole vast area here, this here, Middle East, Egypt, Tripoli, all the way up here. So all this whole area is the Ottoman Empire. And after the drying up, you see what happened, right? They controlled all this, all this, all this, and all this. The Ottomans' territory was vast, but it dried up so that they only possessed the country of Turkey. Once again, we see how Messiah's apocalyptic vision is about major world events. In the book, The Approaching End of the Age by Henry Grattan Guinness, he says, "Nor had it been under judgment of the sword alone. It is miserably perishing in its own corruption. Internal discord," and he's talking about the Ottoman Empire, "internal discord and insurrection provoked by cruel tyranny and monstrous misgovernment have weakened the state. Polygamy and other vices have caused depopulation so rapid as to make it almost incredible. Pestilence, conflagration, earthquakes, civil commotions, massacres, slaughters, all have tended to reduce the population and weaken the empire. Attacks from without, rebellions from within, and the steady process of internal decay have reduced Turkey." In the book, The Rise and Fall of the Papacy by Robert Fleming in the early 18th century, he says the sixth vial will be poured out on the Mohammedan Empire, as the former on the papacy. And seeing the sixth trumpet brought the Turks from beyond the Euphrates, from crossing the river they date their rise, the sixth vial dried up of their waves and exhaust their power. Supposing then that the Turkish monarchy should be totally destroyed between 1848 and 1900. So he's saying this in 1701, right? Before the Ottoman Empire dried up. But he's telling you, he knows what it is. He knows it's the drying up of the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and that's exactly what happened. One of the most important territories that they lost control of is the Middle East, and that's really the context of what we're talking about here in this prophecy. In 1917, the Battle of Jerusalem occurred during the British Empire's Jerusalem operations against the Turks during the Sinai and Palestine campaign of World War I. Fighting for the city led to the surrender of the Turks. British General Allenby liberated Jerusalem on December 11, 1917. After the First World War, the Armistice of Mudros decreed that Allied forces would occupy Istanbul. On November 1, 1922, the newly founded parliament fully abolished the Sultanate. So the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, had controlled Istanbul since they conquered Constantinople during the Sixth Trumpet Judgment. And now we see a shift. Now we see that the Allied forces are going to occupy Istanbul. On November 1, 1922, the newly founded parliament formally abolished the Sultanate, ending 623 years of Ottoman rule. The Treaty of Lausanne of July 24, 1923, led to the international recognition of the sovereignty of the newly formed Republic of Turkey as the successor state of the Ottoman Empire. So, amazingly, modern Turkey, right here, is the source of the Euphrates. You can see it starting right here. Here's the Euphrates River. And it's talking about the drying up of the Ottoman Empire. And all they're left with is Turkey. So indeed, the River Euphrates has been dried up. After the Ottomans lost control of the Middle East, the following kingdoms were established. The proclamation of the Arab Kingdom of Syria took place in March 1920. Interestingly, the mission of the Syrian National Congress was to consider the future of Syria, by which meant Greater Syria, present-day Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. The Kingdom of Iraq was founded in August of 1921 under British administration following the Ottoman Empire's defeat in World War I's Mesopotamian campaign. In 1932, Saudi Arabia, officially known as the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, was founded. In 1946, Jordan became an independent sovereign state, officially known as the Hashemite Kingdom of Transjordan. Though the kingdoms of Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan were created after the Ottoman Empire lost control of the Middle East, I don't believe that they are the kings of the East who are foretold in the Sixth Vial Judgment. I believe that they will play a role in the end times as we witness the ongoing confrontation between Zionist Israel, Syria, and Iran, which sets the stage for World War III. And many prophecy teachers again pointed China and countries from the Far East as the kings of the East. But those countries were already in place before the Ottoman Empire was dried up. It makes sense to look for something that happened due to the Ottoman Empire drying up, so that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. And it makes sense that it's in a place that's going to play a significant role in fulfilling the sixth and seventh vial judgments. The kings of the East are directly tied to the drying up of the Ottoman Empire, but they have a more sinister nature, which will shock many believers. So when you think of the Middle East, what people group and nation comes to mind? Is it not the Jews in Israel? For a long time, I didn't see where the modern state of Israel fit into Bible prophecy, given that most of the prophecies that people cite are not pointing to the modern state of Israel. But now, I see that the Jews in Israel fulfill Bible prophecy as the kings of the East. So let me preface this explanation by saying that our pastors have conditioned us with certain beliefs, so that I pray that you will seek scriptural truth. The topic of the Jews in the modern state of Israel can be an emotional subject, so please pray for discernment. To understand this, we have to look to the medieval Khazarian kingdom, which was in Eastern Europe, part of modern-day Russia and Ukraine. So we can see this on the map. So here's Europe, we can see Eastern Europe, and we see where modern Russia is right here, and we see where Khazaria was, and where it's positioned with the Byzantine Empire here and other countries around it. They dominated this area and controlled trade through the region from 650 to 965. The Khazars were Turkish, generally described by Arab sources as having a white complexion, blue eyes, and reddish hair. They appear to descend from Esau, as he was red and hairy. Keep that in mind as we move forward. They were warriors who worshipped many false gods, making them ripe for invasion as Orthodox Christians and Islamic Muslims surrounded them. The ruling elite reportedly converted to Judaism in the 8th century to deflect the Arabs and Byzantines' outside pressure to accept either Islam or Orthodoxy. It's reported that Talmudic rabbis were brought in to teach the people Jewish traditions. The people were fully converted to their beliefs. They were steeped in Judaism rituals and became self-styled Jews with their clothing, beards, long hair on the side, etc. After several generations, they stop remembering that their ancestors converted to Judaism, and they believe that they were the true Jews of Scripture. The Khazar were warriors who used to be hired out by other countries for battles, as they were domineering. The Jewish Babylonian Talmud told them they could rule the world and have all the wealth, and the Egyptian Kabbalah gave them the sorcery to steal, kill, and destroy. Then in the 10th century, they were pushed out of Khazaria. They migrated west, primarily into Russia and Poland, and also Hungary and Germany. In Russia, they pretended to be Christians, so they were crypto-Jews, Jews in secret. They were involved in the Bolshevik Revolution to seize control of Russia, which caused tens of millions of Orthodox Christians to die. Once again, this may have been part of Yah, the Heavenly Father's righteous judgment, as most Orthodox Christians believe in salvation through the sacraments, like the Roman Catholic Church, and that Mary is the intercessor to the Father, and they have many idols. To help justify the creation of the modern state of Israel, the enemy caused the persecution of Jews in Germany and other countries. The great majority of Jews in the modern state of Israel are Khazar Jews. Today they're called Ashkenazi Jews, but they're Jews by religion, not blood. Most of them have Turkish Mongol blood because they descend from people who came from Khazaria. With that in mind, consider what Messiah declares in Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Messiah wrote that to the church era of Philadelphia, which took place from about 1798 to 1900. So this is when the Khazar Jews were active in pushing to be allowed to go live in Palestine and justify a state in the Middle East. In the book Notes on the Apocalypse, David Steele wrote in 1870, "By the kings of the East may be understood the Jews." Now he wrote that in 1870, way before the Jewish state of Israel was created in 1948. So listen to these Jews who proclaim the truth. In 1867, Russian Jewish scholar Abraham Harkavy, who studied Oriental languages and mastered in history, wrote a book called The Jews and the Languages of the Slavs. He declares that the Jews in Russia did not come from Germany, but the Black Sea region from Khazaria, and that the Slavonic language was integrated with their biblical and Talmudic commentaries. In other words, the Yiddish language came from the Khazars, not the Hebrews. The 1906 Jewish Encyclopedia page on Khazars documents the Turkish Khazars' conversion to Judaism. The Jewish Encyclopedia documents that in the 8th century, King Bulan of Khazaria questioned the Mohammedans and the Christians about which of the two religions they considered the better. When they gave preference to the Jews, that king perceived that it must be the best option. He, therefore, adopted it. The Jewish Virtual Library documents the same narrative, that the Turkish Khazars converted to Judaism in 740 AD. The Encyclopedia of Ukraine documents that at the beginning of the 8th century, Jews from Iran and Byzantium settled among the Khazars in northern Dagestan. Although the Khazars soon converted to Judaism, it is only at the beginning of the 9th century that Kagan Obadiah proclaimed non-Talmudic Judaism the state religion. So Kagan is the leader of the Khazar Jews. Britannica.com documents that trade and the collection of tribute were major sources of income, but the most striking characteristic of the Khazars were the apparent adoption of Judaism by the Kagan, the leader, and the greater part of the ruling class in about 740 AD. The circumstances of the conversion remain obscure, the depth of their adoption of Judaism difficult to assess, but the fact itself is undisputed and unparalleled in Central Eurasian history. The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia documents the same narrative, that the Turkish Khazars converted to Judaism in the 8th century. Encyclopedia.com reports that Khazars are a national group of general Turkic type, independent and sovereign in Eastern Europe between the 7th and 10th century. During part of that time, the leading Khazars professed Judaism. I cite all those sources to show that it's common knowledge available if you look for it, but you won't hear it from your pastor. And I show it so that you can see that it's Jews who are proclaiming these things. Abraham Nahum Pollack, professor of medieval Jewish history at Tel Aviv University, wrote an essay on the Khazars in 1941 titled The Khazar Conversion to Judaism. This work appeared in Zion, a Hebrew publication. He wrote a book called Khazaria, published in Hebrew in Tel Aviv in 1944. The professor severed the mystic tie, that umbilical cord that tied modern Jewry to Israel's biblical tribes. In 1976, a prominent Jew named Arthur Koechsler published a book called The 13th Tribe, The Khazar Empire and Its Heritage. He wrote, "The large majority of Jews after World War III in the world were of Eastern origin and thus perhaps mainly of Khazar origin. If so, this would mean that their ancestors came not from the Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus, once believed to be the cradle of the Aryan race. Genetically, they are more closely related to the Hun, Ugar, and Magyar tribes than to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In the 1993 book, The Ashkenazic Jews, a Slavo-Turkic People in Search of a Jewish Identity, Dr. Paul Wexler, a Tel Aviv University linguist, says Yiddish began as a Slavic language whose vocabulary was largely replaced with German words. Going even further, he contends that the Ashkenazic Jews are predominantly converted Slavs and Turks who merged with a tiny population of Palestinian Jews from the diaspora. In 1999, Kevin Brooks wrote the book, The Jews of Khazaria, which provides historical information on the Khazarian culture and their conversion to Judaism. Says the Khazar people belonged to a grouping of Turks who wrote in a runic script that originated in Mongolia. The royalty of the Khazar kingdom was descended from the Ashina Turkic dynasty. In the 9th century, the Khazarian royalty and nobility, as well as a significant portion of the Khazarian Turkic population, embraced the Jewish religion. After their conversion, the Khazars were ruled by a succession of Jewish kings and began to adopt the hallmarks of Jewish civilization, including the Torah and Talmud, the Hebrew script, and the observance of Jewish holidays. In 2007, University of Tel Aviv history teacher Shlomo Sand verified their Turkish-Mongol heritage in his book, Invention of the Jewish People, saying these Jews are not a race and they have no Israelite connection. DNA research science from Dr. Aaron Ehrlich and associates at McCusick Nathans Institute of Genetic Medicine, a Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, have confirmed that 97% of the 17 million of the world's Jews are not descendants of Abraham. Dr. Dan Grar is a world-famous Jewish geneticist who served on Tel Aviv University's faculty for 22 years and is now at the University of Houston. Grar is a recipient of the prestigious Humboldt Award given to the world's top biological scientists. He declared that Dr. Ehrlich's research is very honest. In 2001, Dr. Ariella Oppenheim of Hebrew University's Genetics Research Department in Tel Aviv produced the same results. Oppenheim's study also found that the Jews' origins are in Khazaria and that they are of a Turkic bloodline. She also reported that some Palestinians have the same chromosome in their blood, indicating they are Kohanim, an Israelite. Do you see how these fake Khazar Jews are deceiving the world? Just like Satan created a counterfeit to the true ecclesia of Messiah when he caused the Roman Catholic Church to be formed, Satan created a counterfeit to the true Israel of Scripture when he caused the Zionist state of Israel to be formed. These Jews are telling the truth about the Zionists in Israel, so why do people ignore their witness? The saints are the priests of Messiah's kingdom. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And indeed, the early believers were rewarded for their faithful service even unto death. Revelation 1, 6 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Lest you think that I am teaching dispensationalism or replacement theology, I am simply declaring that the true fulfillment of Elohim, our Heavenly Father's plans, began in the first century when the true high priest, Messiah, set up the true kingdom of heavenly Jerusalem, the true temple of Elohim, and the true priest. Many Jews believed in Messiah and were saved, and they played a huge role in the early church. But many Jews rejected him and delivered him up to be killed, and they were desolated and removed from power during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. Romans 2, 28 to 29 tells us that a Jew is one inwardly whose heart is circumcised. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans 9, 6 through 8 declares that Abraham's fleshly descendants are not the children of Elohim, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as his seed. Galatians 3:7 tells us that only those who are of faith are the children of Elohim. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So that's both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Messiah. Galatians 3:16 tells us that the seed of Abraham is Messiah. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Galatians 3:28-29 tells us that the followers of Messiah, both Jews and Gentiles, are Abraham's seeds, who receive the promises made to Abraham. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul is clearly teaching us that true Israel, true Jews, believe by faith and so inherit the promises made to Father Abraham. Everyone who believes in Messiah by faith are the chosen people of God. They will inherit Holy Jerusalem when Messiah returns. There are Jews by religion in physical Jerusalem who are Jews by religion but not blood. They revere the satanic Babylonian Talmud and Egyptian Kabbalah. They are the people about whom Messiah proclaimed that they say they are Jews but do lie, but are of the synagogue of Satan. They live in physical Jerusalem, and they despise the followers of Messiah who are called Holy Jerusalem. And we see that in their Babylonian Talmud, which has horrible things to say about Messiah, his mother, and his followers. They strive to rebuild the temple to make animal sacrifices, but the temple of Yah, the Heavenly Father, is not made with hands. And his temple is in the ecclesia of Messiah, in those who believe by faith and are high priest atoning work for sin. So we need to pray for Jews, to come to know their Messiah, to see how he has already fulfilled prophecy, as Jewish leaders forbid them from reading Isaiah 53, which points to Messiah, Daniel 9, which told them when he would appear in the 7th week of Daniel. And they're forbidden to read the New Testament. So they're blinded to the truth. So we need to pray that they'll be released from that, that they will be led by the Spirit so that they will read those prophecies and they will see who is their beloved Messiah and come into a covenant relationship with the Father through the Son. In the next video, I'll talk about the Gog and Magog invasion. Thank you for listening to this Revelation Timeline Decoded audio. You can request a free copy of the Revelation Timeline Decoded summary PDF or order a printed copy of the book, which explains it in detail, at revelationtimelinedecoded.com. I love y'all. Shalom.